Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes.
Elvis had started on Sun Records about a month or thereabouts. I had heard his first record, That's All Right Mama, and just really dug it. He was just so completely different that there's no question we were very, very lucky to have such an outstanding guy as Elvis to be one of the very first to record our type of music.
That's Carl Perkins. He was one member of what became known as Sun Records' Million Dollar Quartet, which included Carl, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, and Elvis. I'm Steve Coyne. And this is Elvis, the making of a legend.
Well, I heard the news. I'm good to rock it tonight.
By 1955, Elvis had recorded five songs for Sun Records and gained some popularity in the South. He was touring the Southern Circuit with upright bass player Bill Black and guitarist Scotty Moore. They would later add a drummer, DJ Fontana. When they first hit the circuit, they were billed as the Hillbilly Cat and the Blue Moon Boys, but that wouldn't last long. Elvis Presley was the star.
I first met him at Sun Record Company. Was introduced to him by Mr. Sean Phillips. He was very nice to me. I just made up my mind then that he was the boy, without question. He had the looks, the personality, the talent. It was all wrapped up in one good-looking package. And so right away, I felt that he, without doubt, was on his way, even from the very beginning.
Sam Phillips had started promoting Elvis to local radio stations with the assistance of local DJ Bob Neal, who was Elvis's first manager. Sam contacted Hank Snow in Nashville, who had teamed up with Eddie Arnold's manager, Colonel Tom Parker, to form a booking agency, Hank Snow.
The Colonel and I formed our own agency here in Nashville, and it was our agency that brought Elvis to the Opry for the first time. The only appearance he ever made on the Opry, and of course, he was just new then, outside of, as I say, a few spots in Texas. And he didn't do too much on the Opry. I mean, they didn't go over it at all. But then the Colonel and I started booking our own tours. I think probably we did four tours all together. And, of course, then you could see with one eye that Presley was really going to become dynamite. He stopped every show we played. I remember what we were paying him at the time, too, $250 a week.
Hank Snow, being a country artist and now a booking agent, had Elvis on a country music circuit, as there were no serious venues at the time for rock and roll. Country music legend, Merle Haggard.
I used to take Elvis and Johnny Cash both on tour when they first started. In fact, they were my supporting acts in 1955.
Hank Snow and Colonel Parker wanted to book Elvis on the Grand Ole Opry. But first, Elvis had to audition. After performing two songs, Jim Denny, who ran the talent office at the Opry, told Elvis he'd better stick to truck driving, that he'd never make it as a singer.
I was working for about a year and a half in nightclubs and football fields, barns, losing a hayride, yes, sir. They threw me off the Grand Ole Opry. Went to Grand Ole Opry, man. They gave me $6 and said, look, go home, man.
Elvis brooded for several weeks about the rejection he encountered at the Grand Ole Opry and had just about decided to give up singing when he got his chance to appear on the Louisiana Hayride, the biggest competitor to the Grand Ole Opry, carried by 190 radio stations in 13 states.
The Louisiana Hayride.
The single release of That's All Right had landed at radio station KWKH in Shreveport, Louisiana, the home of the Hayride. On Saturday, October 16, 1954, KWKH decided to take a chance with the newcomer. Elvis was introduced as the Lucky Strike amateur contestant.
Just a few weeks ago, a young man from Memphis, Tennessee, recorded a song on the Sun label, and in just a matter of a few weeks, that record has skyrocketed right up the charts. It's really doing good all over the country. He's only 19 years old. He has a new, distinctive style. Elvis Presley, let's give him a nice hand.
Why, that's all right, Mama. That's all right with you.
I was the first guy to meet him. When he drove up, I remember he had a 54 Chevrolet. It was the ugliest car. It was a yellow and green. It was ugly. And he got out, he had pink pants on and black and pink shoes, pink coat. I said, God, and long hair, you know, long hair, greasy looking hair. And he first went on the Louisiana Hayride, and he sang "That's All Right, Mama," Blue Moon of Kentucky, and he was shaking, and people were shocked. And he came off, and man, he had tears in his eyes. He said, "They like me everywhere else. I don't understand this." So he had another shot to go back on the second portion of the Hayride, and then he destroyed them. They just went completely crazy.
That was Elvis's touring companion, Merle Kelgore. After his first appearance on the Hayride, Elvis was signed to a year's contract. He would make $30 an appearance. By the end of his first year at the Hayride, Elvis was hotter than a $2 pistol. He toured all over the Southwest, appearing with Mother Maybelle and the Carter Sisters, and the Hayride stars Farron Young, the Wilburn Brothers, Slim Whitman, Jim Ed Brown, Johnny Cash, Berlin Husky, and others. Elvis signed for another year on the Hayride, this time receiving $250 per week. But superstardom was just around the corner.
One time was on the way to play in Brantley, Arkansas, and he had just got his first car. It was a Cosmopolitan Lincoln, a big, long, tan Lincoln. It was beautiful. And he wouldn't let anybody drive because he played some up a scratch on it. And we went, and there was a big traffic jam. It was a two-lane road, you know. And he said, "God, there must have been an awful wreck up there." And we were listening to the radio, and it was Elvis, Merle Kilgore, and Scotty and Bill are going up to Brantley, Arkansas tonight for a big show. And he was plugging, so they'll be on highway, whatever the highway was then. And we said, "Elvis, oh, that's great, they're plugging the show." And he said, "They're on their way right now." Then the traffic jam, man, it's a terrible wreck. Elvis, yeah, we sat there and waited. "I'm going to get out and look and see if I can help somebody." We got out and walked up, and all of a sudden we saw this crowd of teenagers. And boy, they saw Elvis and started screaming. And he says, "Hey, they're coming at us." And we got in the car, and Elvis spun that big old Lincoln around, and we went back to Shreveport and had to go through dirt roads the back way to get to Brantley, Arkansas. And he was crying. He was saying, "Oh, my new car, it's just dirty and ruined, you know, and cars would pass us and gravel would hit," and all. He was just crying like a baby. That was the first time that he knew something big was happening, and I feel like I saw a little bit of history there.
Well, that is Elvis. That's the truth. About 5,000. Standing outside the window here, and in fact, it's so bad that I don't think you had a chance to do much autograph, did you?
No, I didn't, actually. I hate not to, but a lot of people start getting hurt. There's a lot of little big kids in the crowd, and they get trampled on and everything, and the police make us quit.
I ain't had no milk and butter since that time been gone.
This was the year 55 going into 56, New Year's Eve. We were playing in, right outside of Texarkana, the Red River Arsenal, a military base there. And after we got through the first set, we went on the balcony to get some air, because Elvis didn't smoke, you know, and it was bothering him. And the soldier came up and hit him and knocked him down the steps. And I remember Elvis landing, it was like a cat. He landed on all fours, he came running back up the steps, and he hit that soldier, knocked him off through a rail, and he was crying, you know. And I said, "Did he hurt you?" He said, no, I'm not hurt." He said, why is he mad at me? Well, you know, what have I done? And he was really upset because the women were crazy about him, but the guys were really against him, you know. And the MPs asked the guy, "What the hell did you hit Elvis for?" And he said, "And my wife jumping up and screaming," and said, "My wife don't ever do things like that. I can't believe that she did that."
This is Elvis, the making of a legend.
Well, I don't care if the sun don't shine. I keep a loving in the evening time with my baby. Well, it ain't no fun when the sun's around. I get cold when the sun goes down and I. With my baby. Well, that's when we're gonna kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss and we're gonna kiss the moon. Who cares how many times we kiss? Cause at a time like this, who keeps going?
By this time, Elvis's manager, Bob Neal, realized he had taken the young talent as far as he could. Elvis was a shooting star and was gaining popularity at an amazing rate. Bob agreed to allow an ex-con man in Carney Huckster, the manager of Eddie Arnold and Hank Snow, to take over the reins as Elvis's manager. His name? Colonel Tom Parker.
One kiss from my baby doll makes me holler more. And I don't care if the sun don't shine. I get my loving in the evening time.
when I'm with my baby.
When we return, the Colonel calls the shots, and Elvis goes where no man before him has ever gone. I'm Steve Coyne, and you're listening to Elvis, The Making of a Legend.